Blog Talk Radio.
Psychic Talk Radio Network. Welcome, everyone. I'm Dax Carlisle, a tarot advisor and numerologist, coming to you live from Tucson, Arizona, where it's a blistering 100 and something on the thing here. Oh, my God. Joining me, as always, is my fabulous co-host, Certified Tarot Master and Crystal Reiki Master, Mary Brown. And here she is, live from Amarillo, Texas. Happy Psychic Saturday, Mary.
Happy Psychic Saturday, Dax, and hello, everybody. Woohoo! It's Psychic Saturday.
We've got a great show for you today. What was that, Mary? I missed
how
it.
Hot did you? I missed like how hot you said it was in Tucson. It's like something crazy there right now.
Yeah, like 100 and something. You know, we're supposed to hit 109 by Monday, then in the 111s, 112s, 113s.
Okay. It's insane.
I can't wait for the monsoon season to hit in July and August, where we'll get some rain and the temperatures will drop down a little bit, although it'll be muggy as hell.
Mm-mm-mm.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. So here we are again. We got a great show for you today. We're going to be taking calls a little later in the show, but we've got a guest, you know, and we heard the intro music, which has been the Tarot Today intro music going all the way back to 2010, which is around the time when our guest here first joined the Guild. And, oh, my God. You know, the other shows on the network have our standard Psychic Talk Radio music there, but we dusted off the old intro music for Tarot Today. It's really takes us back and reminds us how old we are. Anyway, a little bit of house cleaning here because we've got some new stuff. We got new features. I just want to let everybody know, of course, we are a live call-in show, and you can dial in at 714-816-4628. That's 714-816-4628. As soon as you get through, press 1 on your dial pad. That lets us know you want to be live on air with us. And hold your spot there because we take the calls in the order that they come in. So if you hang up and call in 20 minutes later, you'll be way at the bottom of the list there. So you don't want to do that. Now, if you can't call in today, maybe you're at work or something like that, you know, you can join us in our chat room. In fact, you should join us in our chat room anyway. And the easiest way to get there is psychictalk.net/chat. Our chat rooms are actually, we have a brand new chat room, and it's actually on the show page for each episode of each show, along with a player, where you're probably listening through that player right now, unless you called in. And it's our new way of doing it, simplified everything. We were doing chat in the comments on our Facebook posts, and it really wasn't working out that well. There was a lot of listeners don't like Facebook. They don't want to go on Facebook. And there was a difficulty also, Mary, with the phones. Like, they'd have to have their Facebook app open to chat, but then when they did that, it would cut out the sound from the show, which had to be on a different page. You know, now everything's on one page. In fact, this player is great. I tested it out this morning with some live shows on Blog Talk and installed it on our website on a test page. And, oh, my God, it's working really great. I even checked it from my phone, Tube app, unless you pay them. it'll stop playing as soon as you, like, turn off your phone, you know, hit the button so it goes blank, you know. But with this player, you can put on your earphones, turn it off, stick it in your pocket, and it keeps playing. It's great. I'm just loving this. Yes. So you can either follow the links to the show page for the show. You'll find them all over our social media, Twitter, Facebook, or what have you. Or you can go to psychictalk.net/chat or psychictalk.net/live. Both of those links take you to that live show that day. There you go. So that's the new thing. I hope some of you will join us in the chat room. Help me test it out. Oh, Mary's in there. This is going to be fun. Yes, it is, Mary. Oh, my God. I'm so excited to have Gary on here. And let's see. One last thing I was going to mention. As always, today's show is sponsored by Tarot Guild, the International Organization for Tarot Lovers, Students, and Professional Readers since 2004. We're in our 17th year. Stop by and visit us on the web at thetarotguild.com, our social networking website with all the features of the big social media websites, only it's all tarot all the time, and it's free to join, thetarotguild.com. So before we bring Gary on, anything you wanted to cover, Mary? I'm sure you had a card of the day post, right?
Yes, I do. And that is posted on our Psychic Talk Radio Facebook group. If you haven't joined the group, even if, you know, for people who like Facebook, please join our group. Mm-hmm. We have a group and we have a page. You can like the page, join the group. You can find it easily by going to psychictalk.net/Facebook. And the card of the day I drew today is from the Whispers of Love Oracle Cards for Attracting More Love into Your Life by Angela Hartsfield with gorgeous artwork by Josephine Wall. And the card I drew today is card number 16, which, and the message is, love is all around you. There is love everywhere, all the time. Simply acknowledge this as truth. And, you know, I think that it's really kind of important because we can lose sight of it. You know, we've got this kind of crazy world going on, crazy people, you know, whether it's online or in person or whatever, and we can kind of get disconnected to feeling the love, right? Because it's all about the love, babies, all about the love. So whether the love, if you can, just for today, whether this is your belief or philosophy or whatever, if just for today you can look up at the sky, look at the sun, listen for the birds, look around in nature, and look at those as acts of love, the sun shining down on the earth to keep life going, that's an act of love. So you can see that love is all around you. Give it a shot. Give it a shot today. Why not? What have you got to lose? Anyways, that's my card of the day. Did you get a card of the day, Dax, as well?
Awesome sauce. Yeah, I actually had enough time today to do a whole post on the Tarot Guild site. So if you go over to thetarotguild.com, folks, click on article there, unless you're listening in archive 6 months from now. So it's the one that's titled Lots of Energy Swirling Around Today, Time to Create, because our card of the day is the Magician. And that brings in that one energy, action, self, new beginnings, leadership, attaining goals. It's from the Mind Numbers subgroup of numbers 1, 5, and 7. And today's the 12th, so 1 plus 2 is 3. That's creativity and communication from the creativity numbers subgroup, 369. And today's entire date, 6-12-2021, adds up to 14. 1 plus 4 is 5. So that brings in that 5 vibration of adventure, high energy and change from the same subgroup as our magician card, that number one. And so you could read this whole article and go into further detail. All I'll say about this is today, you know, tap into that creativity energy of the, you know, the three energy and the magician to manifest today. Take time to focus. What creative project can you begin or work on? The magician is the master of the material realm and is here to tell you that you are in control and that you have the power to create anything you can imagine and focus on. So just go over to thetarotguild.com and click on articles and you can check out the whole thing. So that's what I got today, Mary.
Awesome. I love the magician.
Yes. Oh, every time that card comes up, I'm like, yay. You know, when I first got my first tarot deck way too many decades ago to actually mention live on air. I remember going to the cards and I looked at the magician card and I'm like, oh my God, that's me. That's exactly what I looked like when I was in my teens, you know. The Waite Smith version I'm talking about, of course. And I was like, wow, you know, instant connection to that card, instant connection.
That's awesome.
I also had an instant connection to Temperance as well.
Mm.
And the Lover's card
and
the
just
Devil
immediate.
Are my birth
like,
pairs.
When you,
I'm sorry?
Was that connection just immediate? Like upon seeing the card, it's like, boom, it resonated, even like without knowing a whole bunch of stuff at that point.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I knew nothing
cool.
about the deck at that time. Yeah, it was great. It was great. So we get to talk about the best ways to learn tarot today, and we're going to bring in our fabulous guest. Now, if you've been with us for, you know, decade or so, world, you've probably heard Gary. You know, he's been on as a guest, but, you know, he's had multiple shows where – he was the host on some of our previous networks. He's a radio personality for the past 10 years, podcaster. He's a tarot instructor. He's a tarot advisor and an author as well. His name is Gary Karp from New York City, and we're going to bring him on right now. Hey, Gary. Welcome to the air.
Hey, hello. Hello, Dax. Hello, Mary. How you doing?
Hi, Gary.
It is wonderful to finally be with you guys again. It's been quite some time since we've all been together on Blog Talk.
Oh yeah, this is fun. This is fun. Those were fun days back in the day too. My gosh, you know, I think about the shows you did. I think about the shows we did. It's just like, man.
Mm-hmm.
It was great information.
And Gary's kind of still doing that because he has a YouTube channel now, and I'm just loving the videos on the YouTube channel. Hey, Gary, you want to mention that? Tell people about your YouTube channel?
Sure. I guess it was a couple of weeks ago, dove headlong back into tarot, actually maybe a month or two, maybe 3 months ago, because, well, I actually missed working with tarot on a day-to-day basis and working with people and the tarot on a day-to-day basis. So I created a business called That Tarot Guy. And I do have a YouTube page where I post videos on a semi-regular basis. I'm going to be a little bit more regular in the future. But there's a whole host of videos up there on card of the day readings, and there'll soon be cards, instructions, and rants, which is one of my favorite things to do, just talk about things that annoy me within the tarot world, because there
awesome.
Are a lot of things that are annoying to me, as we'll find out over the next hour. It actually led me to write my first tarot book a couple of weeks ago. It was released, was released about a month ago in pre-release, and today is actually the official launch party of it. So I do want to thank you for inviting me on to talk about that. And that is a tarot book for beginners. We'll talk a little bit more about that and the reasons why I wrote it. But if any of you folks are interested in finding out more about myself or watching those videos, you can head on over to YouTube. It's That Tarot Guy over at YouTube.com. You'll find a whole host of videos there. Just subscribe and hit the little bell symbol so you get notified every time a new video goes up. I try to put a new video up every week. Sometimes it'll be more. Sometimes it'll be once every 2 weeks, but everything's going to be new there. You can also head on over to Facebook at Facebook, That Tarot Guy, and follow me over there. I do post links to the YouTube pages and the videos over there, as well as posts and teachings and rants and a whole host of stuff on that Facebook page. And website is thattarotguy.com, spelt like it sounds. Now, I have to let you know that the website is currently under construction. It's going under a major rehaul. So if you go there now, as of today, if you're not listening in archive, this is June 12th, it's probably going to get you some sort of error message, but pretty soon, in about a week or two, it'll be up and running, and you'll be able to read the articles there, schedule a tarot reading, buy product, a whole host of things. And finally, last plug for the beginning, is my Patreon page. You know, going into the tarot world again means that I want to serve the community, both the tarot readers and just those with a passing fancy on tarot or just want some guidance in their life. So I've set up a Patreon page to help me do this. You can donate any amount you want, starting at $1. And for that, you get a whole host of great things, including an extended card of the day. This is different from what you'll find on Facebook and longer than what you'll find on YouTube, where we go more in depth into the cards and the meanings and the symbology and all the host of stuff. And you can find me there at patreon.com, That Tarot Guy. Whole host of great things going on with me and the tarot, and it's really, really good to be back. Because the last couple of years I've tried to put it aside and sort of deny it, and it just keeps coming back stronger than ever.
You know, the same thing happens to me. I try to, like, dive out of tarot, and it keeps sucking me back in. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, kind of like Al Pacino in Godfather 3.
I've watched the same thing happen with a lot of people. Like, I think Janet Boyer quit tarot about 6 times over the last 10 years. Just saying, you know. And she always ends up coming back. And, speaking of authors, tell me about your book. Tell everybody about the title and what's in there. Yeah.
Well, the book is called Tarot Reading for Beginners, really a primer and a good foundation for anyone who is just starting out in tarot. I got to the point where when I started going back into tarot, I joined a whole bunch of Facebook groups on tarot for beginners and tarot for intermediates because I wanted to teach. I wanted to share all of my experience. I've been reading tarot now for 30 years. And in the group, to be honest, what was being told and what was being presented as the proper way of learning tarot or the proper meanings for the cards drove me batty because it wasn't. And it was obvious that the people who were teaching didn't have the background, the knowledge, or the experience to really guide newbie and baby tarot readers. And so they were just regurgitating bad and poor information. I mean, a lot of these people didn't even know what the Fool's Journey was. And to me, the Fool's Journey...
That's alarming.
It is. And to me, the Fool's Journey is not only connected so intimately with the major arcana, but it connects to the minor arcana as well. And the fact that there's a whole host of tarot readers coming up that are being told they don't need to study. They don't need to know the meanings. They don't need to know the symbology and what the colors mean and everything else, that it's okay just to use your intuition. Those mean nuts. So I took it upon myself to write a primer of a book that explains the Fool's Journey and goes through each of the cards in the major arcana, the court cards, and the minor arcana And it not only gives the keywords, because that is important at the beginning, but you can't stay there. It also talks about the symbology and the history of each card, the colors, what those symbols mean, what the archetypes mean. It goes in depth into each card to give a well-rounded foundation, and also shows a little bit about how to string the cards together so you're not reading statically, that you're not just reading one card and, okay, here's the magician, creation, ideas, boom, flip another card, here's the lovers, relationships, and people today don't know how to tie those two together and really create the story that makes tarot come alive when you're doing your readings and really connect with the querent or the sitter. And I wrote this book, it's about 315 pages, to give people a well-rounded foundation for it, because I've gotten to the point where if you're going to study and you're serious about learning something, you can't take the easy way out. And tarot reading for beginners is the perfect book to start your journey. It's by no means an end-all be-all, and quite honestly, I've been studying tarot for 30 years, and I'm still learning new things. I'm still studying. I've recently taken a deep dive into astrology and alchemy and seeing how that ties so intimately into the Rider-Waite deck. Really opens my eyes, because after 30 years, there were connections that I missed.
You know, I'm just still absorbing it, and like, yeah, you know, so much of what you're saying really resonates with me. And the annoyance that, you know, I mean, I used to be in a lot of different tarot groups. I am like in the Tarot Guild now and Psychic Talk, and I'm just like, you know, maybe the Hermit's Cave, I still enjoy that, but otherwise it's too much noise. It's too much like crazy, bizarre, unuseful, or what is some useless, right? Not
exactly.
Unuseful.
I will give you an example. And this was really, I think, the impetus when I saw this post in one of the tarot groups that I belong to, that for the newbies. And they were talking about the Chariot.
Mm-hmm.
And the symbology of the Chariot. And people wanted to know what the, and I'm going to put this as they put it in the group, the nut and bolt on the front of the Chariot meant. Now, we all know that that's not a nut and it's, or a bolt. It's the symbol for the yoni that comes from the culture, from the Indian, from the Hindu. And these people were saying it was a nut and bolt because the it talks about the combat putting together as a car and how you have to drive it. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
And that really.
Oh, my God.
That really said to myself, no, I have really I've got a friend and I was against this for a long time until I saw the truth in it. Tarot needs gatekeepers. They need people who will prevent anybody and everybody who believes they could pick up a book on keywords and a deck and just read. And what we have when that happens is the blind leading the blind. We have people who really are not well-versed in tarot. They don't know the symbol. They've never studied the symbology. They've never studied Carl Jung. They don't know the archetypes. They don't know the Fool's Journey. But, hey, when I look at this card, feel this, so therefore it's right.
You know, it's interesting, Gary. Totally coincidentally, Mary, we're having a show next Saturday, Keywords versus Intuitive Reading. What a nice follow-up that's going to be to this show.
That's interesting.
I did a whole, like, I don't know, really rambling middle of the night. I was so excited to have a chance to be on be a part of the tarathon that the Hermit's Cave does, I guess, every year, right? And I was all discombobulated, but I just want your take on this, because like my approach, and I think of it not like, oh, here's my grand theory, but this is how I feel like I've developed myself, right? Learn everything. Take it all in. You know, just like I have stacks and stacks and stacks of ridiculous amounts of stacks of just pages I printed off from like, you know, like Paul Barlow Hughes's Super Tarot UK site that used to be up with all the Golden Dawn, you know,
yep.
Opening of the key, deep stuff. I was like, oh, I love it, you know. And then, you know, stuff that like just was, you know, Avia Vinafika put out on her site. You know, I mean, it's just like all this stuff, all these different methods, all these different meanings, the symbols, everything you're talking about. And I did this video of just like talking about, take, like you're writing your thesis for your doctorate, you know. Like,
Mary,
like take it that seriously. And then what sticks with you is going to kind of shape the reader you become. You know,
exactly.
What really you absorb.
Exactly. And I agree with you 10,000%. You have to do the work. And yes,
yeah.
When you're starting, that work will start with keywords and
yeah,
books.
Absolutely.
But you have to move beyond that into other of the esoteric arts, right? You have to be well-rounded enough where you dip your toe into or even further into alchemy, into astrology, into wherever it leads you. Because there are connections.
You got it.
The
it's the gateway.
Yes, exactly. It is. Well, it's actually, tarot, interestingly, could be considered a gateway drug to the whole world of mysticism
yes.
and esoteric knowledge. Because it
oh,
does
heck,
touch
you know,
on everything.
What did
and,
tarot lead you to? Okay, so tarot is a gateway for you. Where did that take you?
That's a great question. Thanks for asking. It's interesting because it's two different. When I first started tarot, my first real tarot deck, was the Merlin tarot. I was a baby tarot reader. I knew nothing about it. And as it turns out, the Merlin tarot was more of an oracle deck than a tarot deck.
Mm.
Many years later, I got my first Rider-Waite, and I picked up Rachel Pollack's 78 Degrees of Wisdom, which is still my favorite tarot book of all time. And one book that I will recommend to everyone beyond my own to pick up if you're starting. It's a wonderful, wonderful book. And where tarot led me at that moment, the gateway it opened me up to was to hypnotism, to NLP, to life coaching, to behavioral psychology. And now, many years later, as I revisit it, it's taking me into the more mystical and esoteric and magical, if you will, realms of alchemy and astrology and Kabbalah.
Yeah.
So it's really opening my world to how the universe truly works, right? And how we can walk with the universe or be part of the universe and use the simple tools of the universe to shape our lives the way we want it to be. I mean, the card of the day you talked about was the magician, right? And the interesting thing about the magician is that, and many people miss this on the magician, is that they believe the magic in the magician is on the tools that lay on the table that were actually the tools that were in the fool's sack before he realized what he was carrying, right?
Mm-hmm.
The four symbols of the four suits of the tarot, and that's not really where the power comes in the magician. You look at the magician, he's standing there, and he's got one arm up towards the heavens holding his rod, and the other hand is pointing down to the ground. The magic doesn't happen in the rod or the symbols on the table. The magic happens because the magician is the conduit between the energy of the universe represented by the wand in one hand being channeled through him and then escaping and becoming material through the other hand being driven into the ground so it can become manifest.
Yeah, It's like,
right.
It's the will. It's not the accoutrements.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right? There's a wonderful book that I read a couple of months ago that had the phrase, "It is what I will it to be."
Yeah.
And that also represents the magician right there. It's not, the magician isn't the opportunity to create or the promise of creation. It's showing you how to do it, which is working the energies.
When you're, okay, I have a question about the book. Say I'm one of those, like, you know, cool kids on the tarot, you know, somewhere, and I'm like, man, that Thoth deck sounds pretty cool. I need, you know, I want to learn, I want to use that deck. I buy that deck, and then I buy your book. How does that gel?
Okay, great question. In my opinion, when I talk about tarot, tarot for me is the Rider-Waite. Okay?
Yeah.
I have the Thoth. I've studied the Thoth. I have the TDM. I've studied the TDM. But for me, the Rider deck is the only tarot deck you will ever need. And the book talks about the Rider-Waite deck and the images that Pamela Coleman Smith drew for those decks. They're,
right.
So if you want to study the Thoth deck, if you're into Crowley, that's fine. This book, while you will be able to pick up some things, is really not for you. If you want to study TDM, this book is really not for you. This book is concentrating on the Rider-Waite deck because I truly believe that's the only deck you need. And that's another thing,
true,
if I can get on my soapbox for a moment, that drives me nuts, which is people are like, oh, the Rider-Waite is a beginner's deck. No, it isn't.
Yeah.
Okay? The Rider deck is the only deck you need. The reason why you believe it's a beginner's deck is you don't want to do the work.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I am a lot of people off that are listening right now. And you know,
yeah, well, let me jump in. Let me jump in for a second. Yeah. Let me just jump in for a second because I want to say that, you know, when I do my card of the day posts and I talk about the numerology of the day and the card of the day, you know, it's always a Waite Smith card, and all the symbolism, the colors, everything I'm describing is from that card. Now, it doesn't really have to be either or, because in my course, I always have the students get the Waite Smith deck or a version, and that's what we're going to learn from. But then later down, you know, down the road, if they want to get a fancy schmancy deck, you know, I'll get, like, if I'm seeing a client in person, I'm going to pull out a pretty deck. I'll pull out one of Ciro Marchetti's decks, you know.
Oh,
but
I love him.
In my head, Gary, I'm looking, you know, I'm putting the cards down. I'm looking, but I'm translating them into Waite Smith in my head.
Right. But and that's
like visually.
Right?
Yeah.
If you know the Rider-Waite deck intimately and you've done the work, so you've studied the symbology, you know the structure of the deck, you know the history of the deck, then you could read any tarot deck, be it a Rider deck, be it a Rider clone, be it the Thoth, whatever it is, you can read it because you have the solid foundation of all the imagery, of the meanings, of the psychology, of the archetypes. Okay?
I think that that's a really, really key point because, I mean, I love collecting decks, you know. I just love it. But some of them are like, man, you know. Like I have the Tombstone Tarot, right? And, you know, every card is just a picture of, like a real photograph of, like, a crystal,
and
there you go. But if you have the card title and you've read Gary's book, you're going to know what that card means. It's going to have much more than just looking at a single crystal.
Right.
You already have it in you.
That's also a problem that I have with all the rider clones that are out there. Now, Mary, like you, I am a collector. When I first got into tarot, I bought each and every deck, and I used each and every deck. So I've got like 50 decks sitting on my bookshelf. I only use two really to read, okay? The rider being the main. The issue I have is we have deck creators who are not well-versed in the history, the symbols, and all the esotericism that goes on, the mysticism that goes on, that created the images in the Rider deck that was used when Arthur E. Waite created the structure. And they're just going out and they're using their own interpretations, and you're losing so much meaning if you're just learning on that deck. If you don't with the Rider, right? If you don't start with the Rider, let's say you start with the Witch's Tarot, or you start with another tarot.
Start with the Crystal Unicorn Tarot, the pastel deck.
Right.
It's really pretty.
Oh, yeah.
Am I grinding your gears with that one?
Yes, Mary, I love you, but you are. Because people, they change the imageries when they decide that they're going to put their spin on it. And they don't do the homework. The one thing I love about Ciro, outside that his artwork is just gorgeous, okay?
Yeah.
Is he actually does the work and the research and doesn't put his own interpretations. He tries to use as much as the meaning that is embedded into the Rider-Waite when he's creating his own deck.
Yeah.
Right? And that I really appreciate, rather than I'm just going to make a deck with cats on it. And if the Two of Cups is a cup of the beginnings of a friendship and the beginnings of a partnership and maybe the beginnings of an intimate relationship, I'm going to show two cats playing with a ball of yarn.
But the Star Wars tarot, Oh, and Star Trek.
But people like that.
It drives me batty, especially when it's obvious that the people don't know. When you are seeing someone who's supposedly well-versed in tarot and they're talking about the first thing you need to do is learn the five suits of the tarot deck.
Yeah. Well, what do you feel about that? Since you brought up suits, how do you feel when they change the suits, the creators? When it's like instead of pentacles, you've got daisies or something, you know?
No. No, they're pentacles for a reason, okay?
Exactly.
You can use artistic license all you want and create your own deck, but understand that at that moment, you're no longer reading tarot.
Yeah.
Okay? It's as simple as that. If you are creating using daisies for pentacles and roses for cups and irises for swords, you're changing the meaning. And
but I like that
reader,
deck idea you just came up with. You know,
oh,
I mean,
my God.
It's more marketing, right, than really tarot.
Yeah, and
that one's a $1 million seller right there.
That's another thing that really drives me crazy. And don't get me wrong, I'm a capitalist, right? But if you're changing the meaning of the deck just to make a buck, you're not serving the tarot and you're not serving the community. You're serving your wallet.
Yeah, you're not adding anything to the to the body of work that is tarot over so many centuries.
Correct, and you're also
adding
to the problem because these people are going to be buying your deck. They're going to be reading the LWB that comes with the deck, and they're going to think that this is the standard tarot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or that it
doesn't
matter.
They all have the little white book, you know.
Yep.
That's the point.
You're not going to be giving good information, especially if it's roses, daisies, lilies, and lilacs. I don't know.
Yeah.
Lilac. Okay, we've got a deck now. Now come up with the major arcana as plant.
Oh, my God, the horticulture deck.
The horticulture
I love
deck.
It.
Yes, we just created one. And, you know, my own personal deck ideas, you know, I've always looked at adding something, you know, which is like you were just saying, how it's not adding anything to tarot. But, you know, my concepts that I've come up with are still using the same Waite Smith, but just in a slightly different way. It's the same images, though, that I always imagined on my deck concepts. You know, it's hard to talk about this without you know giving away details of the technology, but adding a new dimension to tarot without changing the imagery at all. You don't need to change the imagery in the fashion that I'm thinking of working with it. Whereas, you know, up till now, almost everything has been, okay, how can we theme a deck and adapt, you know, the imagery to it, you know, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. It's an interesting conundrum, for lack of a better word, because I can understand the desire to want to put your own spin, especially if you're creative. But you also have to make sure that you have enough knowledge, if you're going to be a deck creator, that you are not straying too far so you change the meanings of the cards.
Yeah.
And you also want to make sure that you are contributing to the tarot community and to the world at large, and you're not adding to the problem simply because you want to make a Harry Potter or a Star Wars themed deck or a Star Trek themed deck or a, I don't know, pick your subject deck.
Yeah,
just
baseball.
Because you thought it would be cool.
There's a baseball deck.
There is
Hello
a baseball
Kitty.
Deck, yes.
And Hello Kitty, that's a big one.
There's a Hello Kitty
oh boy.
Deck, really. Okay.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is like, well, when some of us started in tarot, there was only, you know, three or four decks, maybe five decks or so to even choose from. And now there's thousands upon thousands upon thousands. And it is actually a little confusing. I know, you know, if I was brand new picking up tarot right now, I think I'd be a little confused.
Oh, yes. And that's another reason why I wrote the book and I created that tarot guide, is to take away that confusion. Because really, there's so much out there and there's so many different schools of tarot. One, the two classic ones are you must know the keywords and the definitions of the cards as stated in this book over here, or purely intuition. And honestly, they're both right and they're both wrong. Because if you just study that one book, the book that comes with the deck, or you get 78 Degrees of Wisdom, and as much as I love that book, and it's a great place to start, but that's not where you want to. Your education is not complete there, right? You're
yes.
only reading
yes.
by rote. Well, then you're not going to be able to use your intuition. You're never going to develop anything if you study tarot like we study math or history in school, right? And if you're just using your intuition, you're not going to know the structure or the meanings that people who are much smarter than me and you, the mystics and the occultists, as Crowley, as Waite, as people from the Golden
yeah.
Dawn, everything else, put into it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I
mean,
well,
you know,
there's another.
And Paul Foster Case, if we're going to throw out the legends, like, he changed my life.
Yeah, Paul Foster
yeah.
Case. But let me just throw this out to you. You know, I think a path down the middle, which I find this fascinating because you got the two poles, and, you know, this is my concept of temperianism from the Temperance card, you know, you walk down the middle path, you know, you don't get drawn to either pole, you know, that's the way to learn. Speaking of that, you know, one way, the intuitive method, okay, so I'm just using my intuition and I'm throwing cards down. Why even have the deck then? I mean, aren't you now
exactly.
a psychic? You don't need the deck.
Fun thing I did is this, is that I took it, I remember like going through each card, you know, but like not, you know, in 5 minutes or something, but taking out a card, putting it down, and just using my intuition that way of looking at what do I think it means? What could this possibly mean? And then writing down the ideas that I came up with, and then getting a book. I could get Gary's book now, right? Open
yep.
it up and see what Gary says about that card, and see how fine tune your intuition, calibrate it to the tarot, and learn
exactly.
that way. That's a possibility.
The one thing I did when I first started learning is I kept a tarot journal, very very simple tarot
yeah.
journal, where every day I would take a card, and I started in order. So I started from the Fool, and I wrote it down. I put a picture of it on there. I wrote the name of the card, the definition from the book that I was reading at the time, which was 78 Degrees of Wisdom, the keywords, and then I started looking at the card before, and this was before I really got into symbology and really dove deep into it. And based on the picture in the book and the definition, what did I feel? How did it make me feel? And then what song lyrics did I know? What story did I know that attached to it?
Awesome.
Right? And now I would add to it the symbology. What colors are on it? What do those colors mean? What does the color yellow mean? What does the color red, the color black, what does it? And write all those down in it so you have that knowledge right there in front of you. And then there's also the thing that when you're learning, if you're writing things down, I think the statistic is what you're twice as easy to remember it, or twice as likely to remember when you write stuff down.
Yeah.
Right? Which is why a tarot journal is such a wonderful thing to have when you're first learning. Now, I think that's the one interesting thing that I find happening with myself and with the people that I do teach when I'm talking about the Rider-Waite deck, and we talk about the history, the structure, and the symbologies. As you learn it, they believe they're learning from rote. They believe that they're learning the images. But the interesting thing that happens, once you know it and you have that solid foundation and it becomes a part of your nervous system,
yeah,
your intuition automatically wakes up because you're not spending all that time trying to remember what this means. Oh, my God, what is the key word here, right? If you're well-versed on the symbology and the colors and everything flows naturally, your intuition will immediately make the connection between the two cards, and you will be able to tell those stories.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
Hey, I've got a great question from the chat room. Oh,
yes.
Well, go ahead. Finish up, Gary. Then I got a question.
No, it is really for all the people who sit there and say, who are listening to me right now and calling me all sorts of names because I am going against intuition. I'm going against intuition as a strict basis. Because
yeah.
when you learn everything, it'll automatically kick in. It has no choice.
Yeah. Yeah,
right.
It's already
you know,
in your database.
mm-hmm.
Exactly. Yeah, I got a great question from Sharona in the chat room. But just to follow up on what you just said, you know, my knowledge of the tarot, the structure of the deck, having been a numerologist before I came to tarot, I see the numerology, you know, the elements and everything I know, that contributes to my intuition using the deck. I just wanted to
Absolutely.
Make that comment. And then Sharona says, one of the challenges today using the Waite-Smith is its lack of racial and sexual diversity. What's Gary's take on this?
Okay, I'm about to piss people off.
Okay, here it comes.
Okay. Here we go.
And that is the disclosure, okay? The lack of racial and sexual inclusion, okay? The deck was created, if I remember correctly, 1919, right? That's when the Rider-Waite was first put out, 1909, thank you, by Arthur E. Waite. The deck was created by people who had a certain philosophy. Now, if you want to create a black tarot deck, I personally believe that's marketing. I really do. I don't think that anyone, that U.S. Games or whoever is putting out these decks are putting it out because they want inclusion. The only color they care about is green. Now, for myself personally, and I am a 55-year-old white male, okay?
Uh-oh.
There's the problem right there.
Sorry.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But, hey, I've got something big on this, so let me jump in because this is the thing, you know. I mean, I'm LGBTQ. Everybody knows. And, you know, when I sit down and I do readings for other transgender, gay, lesbian, you know, the sexual diversity we're talking about, I'm still using the Waite-Smith deck. You know,
yeah.
And they don't have a problem with it. Now, this is what I'm going to say about that. I'm going to say that, you know, I like how some of the new decks have addressed this. You know, there are racially diverse decks. There's sexually diverse decks. There are gay-themed decks. And if you, for reading for yourself, want to get any of those decks and you're more comfortable with that imagery, hey, go for it. If you are serving wait, let me finish the whole thing, Gary,
okay.
Because you'll see where I'm going with this in just a second. I'm going to drop the big bomb that people don't want to hear. The other thing is, if you're a professional doing readings for people and you want to have a variety of decks that are pretty or that match certain demographics, you know, certain demographics, sexual, racial or otherwise, hey, go for it. Totally. Absolutely go for it. All right. Here's the big bomb. And people don't a lot of readers read in different ways, you know, and so they have a different take on this when working with a client. You know, nowadays, from what I'm seeing, 90% of readings or more are happening online or over the phone. They're happening in Zoom sessions. I do one reading for a person, a client in person, for every 150 I do online. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you know, I'm doing the reading for somebody here in Tucson. I pull out the pretty, you know, Ciro Marchetti deck or one of the other decks. You know, if they're into animals, I actually have a wonderful animal deck now. You know, but in general, you know, I'm using Waite-Smith over the internet. And this is the thing. The deck is not for the client if you're a professional. The deck is for you. And
yeah, okay.
The deck doesn't have to be racially or sexually diverse. They never see the deck. They don't care. You're the one reading.
Here's my response.
Don't care.
Jack, here's my response to that and to address Sharona's question directly. If you want, and let's take the LGBTQ community since you brought that up, and you're going to get a gay themed deck. And let's just deal with the major arcana. And the person who creates this gay-themed deck turns the Empress into a man. Or they show the Lover's card or the Devil card with same sex. Doesn't matter if it's two men or two women. And the same thing could be true of the Two of Cups as well. Right? Well, in the Fool's Journey and in the structure of the Major Arcana, you meet the divine masculine in the Magician, and you meet the divine feminine in the Empress, right? And the whole
yes, and you're also getting diversity
now,
right there.
The whole journey is to integrate both of those parts of your nature. And that's why we have a hermaphrodite in the world. If you change that imagery, you are losing that entire journey and the meaning of every card that comes after it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Well,
I
have a follow-up on that that I want to say. Mary, let me just do a quick follow-up, and then we'll go to you next because you have a follow-up too. And what I want to say is that there's already diversity in the deck. Gary just pointed it out. There's the divine masculine. There's the divine feminine. You know, okay, yeah, we got a male and a female on the lover's card. But I'm going back to what I previously said. And by the way, over my journey, this has become more and more the case. I started off with, you know, all the clients were in person. I'm laying out the cards. I'm pointing at the imagery and the symbolism. I'm telling them details, things like that. And what I discovered over the years, especially as things started going online, the clients do not care. They want an answer to their question. That's it.
Yes.
So more and more, you know, on the radio shows, yeah, we're doing the mini readings, and I will talk about some of the cards and what's going on with the cards. That's because we have a lot of, you know, new tarot readers listening into the shows and they're learning. But when I'm with a client, a paying client, I'm not telling them anything about the cards. They're never even seeing the deck. The deck is down here on the table. The camera's pointed at me. I am telling,
mm-hmm.
they ask the question, I'm giving the answer, you know, and I'm not explaining what cards there are and where the information's coming from. They do not care. Mary, what were you going to say?
Two things. One, I want to say supply and demand, you know, as far as like why there's all these different kind of decks, who's doing them and everything. If there's a demand for it, you know, for it is, it's their job to supply that demand. I'm a, you know, I'm a free love and capitalist, you know, to it, you know, as long as nobody's getting hurt, which of course everybody gets hurt. Sorry about that. But anyways, and then the other thing is this, if we look at the tarot as just, you know, on some basic level, a collection of archetypes, whether it's an archetypal, mm-hmm. you know, thing depicting, you know, like the divine feminine, like the divine masculine, with the Empress and the Emperor, like you were saying. And then, you know, take that through the whole deck and see it as maybe, you know, this is like sort of an archetype of this type of circumstance or this kind of feeling or this kind of event. An everyday kind of thing, whatever. It's very hard to take those archetypes and then cater to a certain demographic without stereotyping. That's the danger. There's such a fine line. It's like, okay, I want to make an all-gay man, you know, in his 50s tarot, you know? Like, you know, so are the characters that I'm drawing, isn't that reinforcing stereotypes, saying like, okay, this fits everybody in that category? I mean, I think
Mary,
that's what gets dangerous.
I agree with you with the archetypes. And really when we're talking about the tarot, we're talking about archetypes, especially in the major arcana, all right? We're talking about the divine masculine, the divine feminine. We're talking about the magician being the creator, how we manifest, right? We're talking about the hermit as the time we turn inward to find our own knowledge and our own selves after we've explored the outer world and mastered it, even though it took all of our strength. We find out there's more. If we try to cater and change those images, well, the divine masculine, the divine feminine, let's stick with those because it's the easiest to deal with in this discussion. They don't have, that's not a gender role. That's not even a sexual role. That is an archetype of a caring person, of what that image is. The man can have the divine feminine in him, right? It is part of us.
Yeah.
Same thing with the woman. So if you go to cater to those other groups, whether you're doing it it with the best of intentions or you're just doing it for a money grab, you are going to be changing it. And to the people who want their own representation in the deck, I would say they have to understand that the deck is an archetypal deck. It is not catered to a white Caucasian male or a gay biracial female. It is the total archetype. And if you look at it that way, then what you're reading is going to naturally lend itself. So, again, this goes to doing the work, going a little bit deeper than just the keywords and the rote definitions and really learning about the symbols and the archetypes, doing the work by studying the alchemy, the astrology, the archetypes. Carl Jung, I recommend everybody. They look at me like I'm crazy because they expect esoteric, and I go, here, go study the psychologist.
Yeah, because it's the archetype. The archetypes are universal. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're in Asia, Japan, China, Middle East, Europe, South America, United States. It doesn't matter what culture you're in. The archetypes stay the same.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The divine feminine is the divine feminine is the divine feminine.
Yeah, if you humanize it, you get rid of the divine.
Exactly. And you also run the danger of changing the meanings of it. The magician is masculine because male energy, traditionally, esoterically, is an active energy.
Yeah.
Okay? The female, the Empress card, is a receptive energy.
Yeah.
Right? And if you change that, you're changing the entire meaning.
By the way, that brings up a question in the chat room from Sharona again, where she's writing a guidebook and she's having trouble adjusting this. She says, "Let me read this here." Addressing the concept and what she's talking about is tarot polarity, especially with things like swords and wands being masculine and cups and pentacles being feminine. And what I told her back in the chat room is when I teach, I talk about them as passive or active. You know, that it's based on the polar basis of our dualistic universe. That's why it's there. And you know, I sometimes instead of passive, I'll say receptive. But it's, you know, active or passive versus masculine or feminine. What's your take on
that? That is a perfect way of describing it. It is not masculine or feminine. It is active and receptive instead of passive. I like the word receptive better. It describes it better. Unfortunately, we have been given layer upon layer of bullshit, part of my language, that says that the woman has to be passive. So we associate that. But at its heart, it's really receptive. If you look really at the hermit, and in the hermit card, when he in the lantern, we see the Mogendavid. It's a six-point star. But if you look at what that six-point star really is, it's an alchemical symbol of the active energy, or the masculine, and the receptive energy, the feminine, together.
You know, I think if anybody that's studied like especially one of the romance languages, like French, where you have male and female, you know, words and identifiers like the book, you know, the word the in our English language is kind of like it's neutral, right? It's just sort of neutral. In French, it could be la if it's cinema. Feminine, lay, if it is masculine, and that also, it's part of a system. It's part of a system of grammar. So I think that the idea of masculine and feminine in the tarot is a part of the system of tarot.
Yes.
We don't have to get emotional about it, you know? It's just like learning a language, literally, And
yes.
Also, elemental dignities, people. You better learn your elemental dignities, okay? How do you even do that if you don't have something that's active and passive and neutral? Two cards together, two fire energies. You know, what does that do? Do they have a kind of a neutralizing effect on each other? What about two, you know, passive water? Well, what's going to happen when you mix water and water? We got to, you know, include that, people out there.
And that, Mary, you're hitting on everything, and maybe you're communicating it better than I tried or I am doing, but you're absolutely right. These are the things you have to know. And when you know these things, then all the other identification questions go right out the window. Because you do understand, it doesn't matter if you're straight or gay. It doesn't matter if you're black or white. It doesn't matter if you're male or female. There's a higher game at play here. And it translates as a language, and that is the perfect definition for tarot. You are learning a language, like math or music, same thing, is a language, like the Romance languages. And there is syntax and there is context. And you have to know how to put the languages together, right? That an adjective comes before a noun, because if you say dog pretty, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
If you say pretty dog, people understand what you're saying.
Exactly.
Oh, let me jump in because it's already the top of the hour, and, God, we could talk to Gary about this stuff for, like, an entire afternoon.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Oh, God, unfortunately, the network doesn't give us that amount of time, or I would. But we want to get to a couple of phone calls maybe before the end of the show. Gary, are you game for that? Take some calls?
I am definitely game for taking calls and answering questions. And if you'd like to have me back to continue this discussion, because I could talk about this for hours, as you can tell, I'm extremely passionate about this. I'd be more than happy to come back at any time that you want me. Just hit me up, but I'll be here answer any questions that comes up on the phone calls.
Okay,
it
would be great to have you back. Before we go to the phone calls, though, a couple of things. One, Gary, again, how do they get your book?
Well, the easiest way to get my book would be to, and I'll put this in the chat room, if you guys want to hit me up through Facebook, you can DM me or leave a message on the Tarot Guy page. I will put a link in there so you guys could PayPal me. The book, by the way, is $12. So if you want to pick up the book, it's $12. You can PayPal me. I'll put that link in the chat room. You can send me a DM, and I can send you that link as well. And you'll be able to pick up the book and learn and have a wonderful time. Also, I'm just going to reiterate, if you'd like, head on over to patreon.com/thattarotguy and drop a dollar into my tip jar for that amount of money every month. You can get access to my daily rants, as you heard me speak, if you've been listening to the show. Also, extended card of the day readings, and really the like extended card of the every other day readings. I hope to get a little bit more regular on them.
Yeah, that's how it's been
really
for
cool
me lately.
As well.
I'll get all these links onto the show page, so everybody listening in archive, hey, just scroll up. You'll find the links above the player here and on the show page. And I'll put it out on our Facebook and Twitter and everything as well after the show so people can grab your book. I think it's a great value, a great deal for the price. And Mary, what's the shows coming up on the network? Let's tell everybody what's in store.
This week on the Psychic Talk Radio Network, our next show is going to be tomorrow, June 13th at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. It's the Magic Universe Show with your host, Sharona Rapsick. She's going to be chatting with Bruja Lili Tarot and also taking your calls for free tarot mini readings, doing open lines that show. And then on Monday, June 14th, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, it's the Wisdom of the Soul Show with your host, Janice Fuchs. And after that, our next show is going to be Friday. The doctors are in. We're with our very own Dr. Dax Carlisle and his co-host, Dr. Rose Wilkerson. And they're having a guest, the Rhode Island medium, Savannah Martin. And then the next show after that, this is important, on Fridays, there are two shows now. The next show after that is going to be Friday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, the Spiritual Guidance Radio with your host, Catherine Hahn, who's an angelic channel in energy healing. And she's going to be giving free on-air guidance. And then Dax and I will be back with the Tarot Today radio show next Saturday, same bat time, same bat channel, doing open lines, mini readings, and talking about tarot card meanings versus intuitive tarot card readings, which we just hit upon, didn't we, today, which is, makes it even more fun. So that's what's
gonna
coming up
great.
On the network, and you can... It will be, you know, we could talk about this, too, because a lot was said with Gary today, wasn't it? But you can find that list of all our shows coming up on the psychictalk.net/upcoming, and they're all listed there for you. Back to you, Dax.
Awesome. Let's see, I did want to mention that when you go to psychictalk.net, our navigation bar has changed a little bit. We've made things very simplified there. So we've got the upcoming. Just click on that to go to the upcoming show page that Mary was just talking about. We also have our archive of, you know, several hundred shows on every topic you can think of. Just click on archive. And then I created live. When you click on live, it takes you to that psychictalk.net/live. And that's our very next live show. So, you know, if you're wanting to listen to, you know, there's a show coming on that day, you know, just go to psychictalk.net and click live, and it'll take you right over to that show page. And the chat room will be there, the player to listen to the show, the call-in number, all the information right there, all in one place now on psychictalk.net. Wow. Okay. We are way over time here. Let's see if we could squeeze a couple of calls in before the end of the show. But if we don't get your call today, remember, write it down, psychictalk.net/live. It'll take you to Sharona's show tomorrow. And it's the same phone number, 714-816-4628. Write that down, because Sharona and her guest will be taking phone calls tomorrow as well. Let's see, who's been waiting the longest? We're going to bring on area code 307. Caller, what's your name? Where are you calling from? 307, are you there? They've been on hold for so long, I think they took a nap. Okay, we'll come back to 307. Caller 307, get ready. We're going to come back to you in a second here. Let's try the next caller. Hello, caller, you're live. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, Dr. Drex. I'm Sherry Brown. I've listened to you for years, and I'm not good in tarot, but I'm glad you do the show. I have a question, please. I have learned tarot from you. I'm not kidding. but I'm not good at it.
Awesome.
I'm still practicing. Yeah. Anybody wants to learn tarot, this is the place. This is the place. I have a question.
Hello.
I have a job. I have a job that I was told to leave for 2 weeks, and I'd like to know my job that I work with starts with the letter E, if I'm going to be going back to the company. Please. Please, thank you. I'm being specific. If I'm going to be able to come back to the company, because there was somebody made a complaint, and I've been with them since 2014, off and on. I'm not worried about it.
Uh huh.
Right.
Can you give me your name again? I don't think I caught it in the beginning there.
Melissa.
Melissa. Melissa. Alrighty.
Mexico.
On there. Gary, did you pull cards?
No, but I can.
Yeah.
Give me a sec.
Yeah, pull some cards. We always like the guests to, you know, shine here. So we got Melissa's question. Is she going to go back to that job or that company, actually?
Yeah, the company, please. Thank you.
Okay, so give me a second here. We'll pull some quick cards here. The sound you will hear will be the sound of a deck shuffling.
Sounds good. Music to our ears, Mary. We got the shuffling cards.
Yes. We love the shuffling.
I love the shuffling too, y'all. It's nice.
Awesome.
Okay. So, Melissa, give me 1 second here, and we'll do a quick reading.
Yeah, thank you. I've been listening to the show from the beginning, then I got cut off 4 times. Sorry.
I have. Thank you for listening. You came back.
Yeah. No, the phone just dropped because low battery. It's my fault. But I have battery now.
I just quickly threw a couple of cards here, just a simple 3-card read. Just for knowledge, the cards that came down were the 9 of Cups, the 8 of Swords, and the 3 of Cups. Immediately, this seems like a job that you really love, that you like, that you enjoy. Right? You may have a little pride in this job.
True.
That you're having, right? The danger that I'm going to say here is...
There's danger,
The danger that I'm seeing here is you're getting so wrapped up in this question, you may not be looking at other opportunities that are coming to you. You're sort of cutting yourself off from your own intuition, from your own creative energy here. And there may be an opportunity beyond this job that could be a little bit better for you. So you may want to just keep an eye out and not focus so strongly on if you'll be allowed to come back, but focus on what other opportunities are now open to you.
Real quickly, may I please, sir? Is this job I was under for clearance? That's why they were checking me for that. I don't know if they're still going to check me for the next job. I was under the whole 9 yards of being checked. I passed.
Mm-hmm.
I passed a lot of my. So that's why I'm concerned that I have someone designated to me that is checking on me for that particular job. It is danger. Now, make story short, what happens to my background? Was they're checking on that? Is it still continuing?
Well, from what I'm seeing here.
You got it. My gosh.
Again, what I'm getting here is that there's, I mean, your record is coming up clean, and it's something that you are obviously very proud of the way you present yourself, right? I do see that there's semblance of a charity. Does this job have anything to do with charity or giving or providing for others?
Yes. Yes, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Yes, sir.
I do see this. And, again, what I'm looking at here, I just threw some other cards. What's interesting is both the King and the Queen of Wands has come up in other cards that I've thrown, which is a very passionate thing. Now, I still see that I'm getting the feeling that it's still going on. You're not out of the running by any stretch of the imagination. And it will need to be used both sides of you, whether there's an artistic and a business side to this as well. I don't know, but it seems like it's going to challenge you on both ends. And again, the one thing that I keep coming back to is just closing yourself off to the other opportunities and what your gut is really telling you.
Yep. I hope that helped you out, Melissa. And,
but yeah, thank you. Thank you, sir. You're very good. Thank you.
We'll be back next Saturday. You can call on tomorrow's show and Friday and Saturday as well if you have additional questions as well. And, okay, we have time for maybe one more. Let's go back to that area code 307 line and see if they picked up. Let's see. 307. Caller, are you there?
Hi. Yes, I'm here now.
What's your name, hon? What's your name, hon? Where are you calling in from?
My name's Alyssa, and I'm calling from Wyoming.
Awesome.
Wyoming.
What's your question?
I just recently got a new job, and I kind of just want to know if it's going to work out and if it's going to lead to more opportunities, or is it going to be like a dead end job?
Interesting.
And
go
I'm
ahead,
sitting
Gary.
Here shuffling, so if Mary Dax, you want to jump in while I continue to shuffle, go right ahead.
You got anything, Mary? I've been letting Gary do it.
Is it going to be a dead end job, right?
Yeah, will it lead to more opportunities?
Well, it'll lead to more opportunities.
I'm sorry, I didn't get your name.
Alyssa.
Alyssa.
Oh, thank you, Alyssa. From what I'm seeing here,
yes,
it's going to start off really, really good, and then you're going to start to focus on the negative aspects on it, and things are going to go sideways for you.
Okay.
The good news in the sideways situation is that ultimately it's going to show you more of what you want and, more importantly, what you don't want.
Okay.
Right? So you'll gain clarity.
Okay.
I won't say it's a dead-end job, and my definition of a dead-end job is something that's not creative, very repetitive, doesn't challenge you in any way, right? It just becomes a paycheck.
Okay.
And I think that you're looking at this as something more that it will allow you to grow, that will allow you to progress. And after a few months, you're going to start to feel confined by it.
Okay.
And that's going to have a total shakeup for yourself. Not necessarily the job, but you.
Okay.
Okay, that there'll be some changes in you that says, no, this is not what I want to do.
Okay. Yeah, there's just a lot of driving involved in it, and I use my own car, and I don't get paid for the miles on my car and stuff. And it's like 2 hours worth of driving a day, you know?
Oh, Jesus.
And so
insane.
I've done that in L.A. It's awful.
Oh, yeah.
It's half your life.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a security job, job position. But I'm gonna try it out. But I don't know. It sounds like it's, you know, if it's not really gonna pay for the amount of wear and tear I put on my car and the gas and stuff.
Right.
The three cards that I threw, just to give you some knowledge on this, were the Four of Wands, the Five of Cups, and the Tower.
I got the Five,
okay.
Right?
I'm really in on is that Five of Cups and the Tower. That leads me to believe that eventually you're going to start to look at the negative aspects of this job more than the positive aspects, and you're going to find a shift in yourself.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thanks for the call, Alyssa. Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
You too. Have a great night.
Bye-bye. Remember to visit us on the web at thetarotguild.com. This is the place, like our one caller said, to learn tarot for sure. Let's see. I wanted to mention...
don't forget to tune in tomorrow for Sharona Rapsik's show, Magic Universe, chatting with Pooja Lily Tarot. We've got the Rhode Island Medium this coming Friday next week, and, of course, New Day and Time for Catherine Hahn's show. And I can't wait for next Saturday, Tarot Card Meetings versus Intuitive Tarot Reading. It's a nice follow-up to this show, you know. And Gary, feel free to join us in the chat room.
Oh, I will definitely be there.
Oh, my God.
Awesome.
And we want to thank our special guest, Gary Karp. And remember, all the links will be on the show page, and you can catch him on YouTube, That Tarot Guy, and, of course, Facebook as well, and message him and grab the book, right? Right, Mary?
Yes, please grab the book.
Yeah.
It's 315 pages. It will give you everything you need to have a solid foundation to start your tarot journey.
Do it now. Do it today.
Absolutely. It was a lot of fun, Gary. Great having you back on air again.
Yes.
It was
wonderful to be here. Thank you for having me.
We'll have you back real soon.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
Yes.
Well, I guess say goodbye to everybody. Thanks to all our listeners and callers. Thanks for being here, Mary.
Thank you, Dex. And thank you, Gary, for joining us today. And thank you to all the listeners out there in Radio Land and Sharona in the chat room and everybody who's going to listen and archive later. We would not have a show without you.
I love that new chat room, I just got to say. It's on every show page, folks. I'm liking
it's
it.
Cool.
It's working. Yeah, absolutely. Bye, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Bye, everybody.
Good night, John Boy.